morning. Now, as we look at God's word this morning, I have changed the scripture on Christopher again. Just told him about it when I got to church, and he has got that ready, I am sure. We're going to begin in Romans 7, not what is in the
bulletin.
Not what is in the bulletin. I changed it after the bulletin was printed. And the reason I changed it, because I looked at Romans 8, 1 through 11, and I realized if I preached Romans 8, 1 through 11, we'd be here for 2 hours. Just for the preaching part. So, we shortened it down. It's going to only be Romans 8, 1 through 4, but we're picking up 7, the last few verses of 7 as well. And so, as we look at that this morning, we turn to it. Romans 7. And on glasses. And we'll begin at 7:21. Chapter 7, verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil is close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law, at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I'm a slave to the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Powerful scripture for us this morning as we look there. At God's word. And I want you to know, folks, that we have a Lord that loves us completely. He understands the weight that sin brings into our lives and the way it distracts us and keeps us from being the person that God has intended us to be and designed us to be. Hear again the words from our Lord. From the sermon from Matthew 11 last week, we looked at God's word and said, Jesus speaking said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus shows his authority over all things, over all creation, as he invites humanity to come to him. He is the only one. And he says, come. Come, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus' beckoning call is come unto me. Nowhere in scripture will you find Jesus say, get away from me. Unless he is speaking to Satan. Get away from me, Satan. Never does he speak that to a human being. No human being in no condition or no shape was ever in such a place that Jesus did not go to them and invite them to be with him. If we're honest, even those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ find ourselves at times weary and heavy laden. We find ourselves carrying a heavy yoke, worrying about things that we cannot control. And if we told the truth about it, if we could control those things that we worried so much about, we wouldn't worry about them. But we can't control them. And we allow worry to fester in our lives, to weigh us down, to slow us down, to cause us to be enthralled with that thing we cannot control. And if we allow worry to continue in our lives unchecked, it will continue to build. It will overwhelm us. It leads to depression. It leads to all kinds of things that are unproductive in our lives and unproductive in our relationship with each other and with God. Yet, take to heart what Jesus says. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. If your yoke is heavy, if your burdens are weighing you down this morning, church, then I will tell you, you've got the wrong yoke. You need to get the yoke of Jesus. You need to throw off the yoke that the world has put on you, that the people of the world have put on you, that Satan has put on you. And you need to grab up the yoke of Jesus, the yoke of God, and put that around your neck. Because God's yoke releases the burdens of the world. And as we release them, as we cast them before God, as we lay them down before his throne, then, only then, are we able to know the peace that God has with us. Real peace, true peace, God's peace, spiritual peace. There was a pastor in the Philippines. He was a much loved pastor, a man of God, but he carried with him a burden, a secret sin that he knew he had committed while he was in seminary. In his congregation, there was a devout woman who particularly had the Spirit of the Lord all over her. And she told the pastor about a vision that she had that was a recurring thing where she walked with God and she talked with God and God talked back to her. Somewhat skeptical of the whole thing, the pastor said to her, well, the next time you have this vision, will you ask him a question for me, please? And she said, well, surely I will. He said, ask him, what sin was it that your pastor committed while he was in seminary? See, the man had begged God for relief from the burden of that in his life. But he had found none. He had found no peace. A few days later, he ran into this woman and he asked her, did God visit you with a vision since we talked? And she said, well, yes, he has. And he said, did you ask him the question that I asked you to ask? She said, yes, I did. And he said, well, what was his answer? And she told him, he told me to tell you, I don't remember. My friends, this morning, I want you to take heart. This is God's word. In Psalm 103, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. And then later on in scripture, Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, it says, you, O God, you will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. As human beings, we do dumb things. We make mistakes. We sin. It's a part of being human, a part of the human experience. Our text from Romans chapter 8 this morning begins with one of the greatest promises in all of Scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, Romans 8:1, I want you to put that in your memory. I want you to commit that scripture to memory. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The reason I want you to put it to memory is because there's going to be times, and there already are times in your life, when you need to know that truth. You need to know that God is telling you that there is no condemnation for you if you are mine. If you want to be mine, if you're striving to be mine, if you're trying to be mine, there's no condemnation for you. Because I claim you. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
God is saying, I have the power, I have the authority to do away with sin, and I do away with it for all who claim, who call on my name and who call on me. There's something in those words of promise that God gives us that makes my heart flutter. Significance is the fact that in spite of our sin, God does not forgive us. You see, we've gathered today as God's church in this place. We might as well call it Sinners Anonymous, because we're all in it together. All of us. It is truly overwhelming. When we gather before his throne. And sometimes we gather by ourselves. But that gathering in front of his throne is our proclamation that we know and we accept God's love for us, and that we realize that there is no condemnation before us. When you read that verse in light of Romans chapter 7, the personal application of God's word comes to us. Many times we sin and read God's word and we wonder, oh, this is so far up there that it doesn't apply down here. This is so powerful and so right. How does it apply to my life, we wonder. Here in chapter 7, it gives us the practical application of God's word. You see, Romans 7 contains a powerful insight concerning our struggle with sin. What makes it so powerful is that Paul, the apostle Paul, is providing us a glimpse into his own personal struggle with sin. And for me, that's encouraging. You see, I picture the Apostle Paul standing to defend his faith in the presence of governors and even before the Emperor of Rome himself. God chose Paul to go and stand before those leaders of the world and proclaim the good news to them. And Paul, the man chosen specifically of God to do that, then tells us, I too struggle with sin in my life. It makes it real. It makes our Christianity real. We've all listened to the words that Paul gives as instruction to the churches, all of his epistles. We have been studying them for months in our Bible study. He instructs all of those churches to be faithful, to continue in their faithfulness. And then he encourages Timothy and Titus both, as they are pastors before the people, to keep the faith, to follow their calling. This guy's larger than life. And yet he too struggles with sin? Oh, I'm not by myself in this. That is truly encouraging. When we look at Romans chapter 7, we get a peek behind the scenes of the Apostle Paul, and we see a lot more human, that he is a lot more human than we maybe give him credit for being. He's not separated from the struggles of living life, even though he is the man called and appointed by God to bring his word to the masses. Here in his word in Romans 7:15, he says, I don't understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. This is Paul talking. He is confessing before us and before God. He's honest enough to recognize that within himself is the tendency to get caught up in the stranglehold of sin in our lives. A grip that can become so tight that many believe they are beyond forgiveness. Carl Menninger, the famed psychiatrist, once said, if I could just convince patients in the psychiatric hospital that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them would be able to walk out tomorrow. 75% of the people in mental institutions just need to hear Romans 8:1 and own it for themselves. We sin. We all sin. It happens in all of our lives. Earlier in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he proclaimed, not one is righteous. No, not one. Romans 3:10. Later, he stated a biblical fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But now he confesses sin's effect on him personally here in chapter 7. He is being open. I struggle with sin. I battle with sin. And sometimes I lose. I need to make the same confession. And I know that you do too, because you're just as human as I am. He is being open with us. And finally, the frustration of losing seems to break through the surface as Paul proclaims, I see in my members at war with my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? You know, in our lives, we try to be patient. We try to be kind. But then before we know it, our tongue has already said something that cannot be taken back. Somebody is hurt. And somebody's feelings are cast down because of something we've said or something that we have done, not intentionally trying to hurt someone, but that's the result. Thought you had broken the grip of sin, particularly in that area that you struggle with. But then before you know it, suddenly you've listened to that little whisper of the old nature. And that old personality breaks through, and the sarcasm, the biting, the simple personal indulgence comes right out. You knew you should have steered clear, but before you knew it, you found that you were weaker than you thought. Sometimes you don't live up to the standards that you know are right. Maybe I should restate that. Sometimes we don't live up to the standards we know are right. I don't want to exclude me from that. And then all we feel stupid, filthy, unworthy. To put it in the terms that Paul used, wretched. We all fail. We all give in. And yet, praise God, He never turns his back from us. He never turns away from us. Paul calls us to victory in Christ Jesus. Listen to his word. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Folks, every single word of Romans 8:1 has meaning. There is therefore. Therefore relates the scripture back to what Paul has been telling us, particularly in chapter 7, but beyond chapter 7. All of this, that's Paul's style of writing. He will write these things and point out the difficulties of the problem or the blessings and the gift. And then he'll say, therefore, because this thing is true, then we either have to look to this or we have to do this. That's Paul's style of writing. And he says in verse 8, well, in chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, all of these things in 7, particularly in 7, all of these struggles that Paul has with sin, therefore, I need to remember, he says, silently, there is now no condemnation. What that word now is important in this. What is the difference between now? What's so special about now in the scripture? There is now no condemnation. Now is the time since Jesus hung on the cross. Since we know God's salvation for us, there is now no condemnation. Does it make more sense now? Yes. There is now no condemnation because all of the condemnation has been put on Christ Jesus. And there is none left. He bore it all. Praise God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's no condemnation left for us. God sees us as his children. No condemnation. You realize this is one of the strongest statements in all of Scripture? There is now no condemnation. Period. It's done with. There's nothing else to say about it. And folks, can you remember that? Can you put Romans 8:1 in your memory? And when Satan tries to attack you and tell you that you are unworthy, that you are unloved, that you are standing by yourself, that you are the sore thumb, when Satan tries to work in your life and tear you away from God, you just repeat to him, there is now no condemnation, not for me, not ever, because I am in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
Can you follow that? And can you do that? Can you apply that to your lives? God wants us to know his word. And he wants us to have it in our hearts. And have it in our lives. The greatest of the promises, this promise of grace that God gives us, there is now no condemnation. That is total grace. Grace is what? Unmerited favor. I didn't merit. I was just a lost sinner. And God grabbed my heart. And he took the condemnation away. Folks, there's no way I could stand before you and pretend to be a pastor if he had not done that. No condemnation for who? For those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, this is so important here that I want you to repeat this with me. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Say that with me. No condemnation for those
who are in Christ Jesus.
How are you in Christ Jesus? You are in Christ Jesus when you seek his word, when you seek his way, when you want to be like he has shown us to be. That's how you are in Christ Jesus. And as you strive toward that, not that you're going to be successful in your first attempt or in your 100th attempt, but as you strive toward being that person, you are in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
is where we find God. It is in the struggle. That's where we find our faith, and we find God there. Now, folks, I want to tell you there is security in this relationship because God's very word tells us that his promise to us is there is no condemnation. You see, when God looks at you, he doesn't see a wretch. He sees a son. He sees a daughter. He sees a child of his very own. He sees someone who he has made in his own image and whom he loves and whom he sent his son to die for, that we can have relationship with him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Remember the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15? You know, he took his half of the inheritance and he went and squandered it. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, the great radio teacher whom I have listened to for hours, says it this way. He says, do you know the difference between the son in that pig pen and the pig? He says, the difference is that no pig has ever said to himself, I will arise and go to my father. And he's right. But a child of God can. And the good news for you this morning is that every one of you are children of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
He has called you, or you wouldn't be here. I have no doubt about it. You wouldn't be here. Because Satan has got too many stumbling blocks to put in our path to keep us away from here. Because he doesn't want us to hear this word. Only because God has called you are you here this morning. When the prodigal son came home, as soon as he got within eyesight of his house, his father came running down the path. His father didn't care that he was covered in pink slop and in pink poop and everything else that smelled. His father didn't care. He ran right up to him and hugged him close. And he said, somebody get a ring, for this is my son. And somebody get a robe and put this back, because I love him. He didn't say, go and get cleaned up first, and then I'll come and love you. He grabbed him with all of his smelly, dirty self, and he restored him right there. I will tell you that he cleansed him right there. Because there is now no condemnation for the children of God. D.L. Moody had an illustration. He had a cup and a glass in his hand one evening. And he said, I want to ask you, learned audience, how can I get the air out of this cup? And someone in the audience said, you could have a device to come over the cup and pull a vacuum and get all of the air out. And D.L. Moody said, yes, but that vacuum will make the glass fragile and it may break. It's unsafe and unstable. Even holding it, the glass may break. And there were other suggestions there in the audience of how he might get the air out of that cup. And then D.L. Moody reached behind the podium and he brought out a pitcher of water. He poured that water into that cup until it overflowed. I consider doing that right here this morning. And as he did, all of the air went out of the cup. No more air. Folks, it's like that with sin in our lives. We think that we need to do something to draw the sin out, but all we need to do is become filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to open our hearts to God, and we need to make practice ways that we can be drawn close to him. And he will fill us completely. So there's no more room for it. And yes, sometimes because we live in these fleshly bodies, we're going to fall into that temptation. But then we turn again and say, oh, Lord, I've got a place that's not filled. And we turn to him to fill us again. And what does Scripture promise? There is no condemnation. It doesn't matter what condition we're in when we come back to this. He will meet us. He will give us victory over the things that would draw us down in this world. Victory over depression. Victory over our burdens that we carry around. See, sin is not something that we can conquer by drawing it out of our lives. A victorious Christian life, though, is experienced by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit this morning?
Yes.
Are you filled to the brim, church? Has God come into your life in such a mighty way that you know his presence? Do you know his presence with you when it gets dark and when Satan rages? In Christ, you are free. Free from the burdens that Satan would put on you. Free from the burdens that this world would put on you. And why is this important? Because if the truth be known, there are times when there is condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As we apply Scripture to our lives, I want to look at it also. And there is condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But it always comes from Satan, never from God. And the only way that Satan has any power over you is if you allow him place in your life. If you will look to God's word, if you will trust God's word, if you will trust him, you will never have to bend the knee to Satan's temptations, or not temptation, Satan's drudgery. You'll never have to carry the load that he would put on your back, because Scripture tells us how to take it off. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In fact, the name Satan means accuser. And Satan, folks, wants us to believe that we're still unworthy. He wants us to believe that we are condemned. He wants us to believe that we are unworthy of God's presence in our lives and unfit for it. He wants to trap us into believing that we are so wretched that God wants nothing to do with us. He said he wants us to be like Adam and Eve as they were in the garden after they fell for Satan's temptation. And what did they do? They went and hid themselves from God. And, but you know, you've experienced the same thing. I have too. I can't even pray right now because I don't want to face God. I don't want to face him knowing what I've done. I don't want to have to stand before him. The truth is, all of us have been there. We have all failed. We have all felt condemned. And we too have turned away and tried to hide ourselves. Not because we don't love God, but because we know that we failed. We've listened to Satan when he whispers. My friends, be assured, sin enslaves us. Forgiveness frees us. Praise God. Sin enslaves us, but forgiveness frees us. God's forgiveness frees us. There were a couple who were married for about 15 years, and they began having more disagreements and more problems than they should have had in that time span. They knew that they were in trouble. They wanted to make the marriage work, and they agreed on an idea that the wife had. For 1 month, they planned to drop a slip in a thought box whenever they found something that they wanted to point out. And so they went about their daily routines and they set up these boxes. He had a box and she had a box. And the wife was diligent in observing the specific things so that they could be talked about and addressed. She wrote one on there, leaving the jelly top off the jar, wet towels on the shower floor, dirty socks not in the hamper. On and on she went until the end of the month. After dinner at the end of the month, they exchanged their boxes and the husband reflected on what he had done wrong. And then he gave his box to his wife. She began to pull the slips out and read them. And every one of those slips said the same thing. I love you. Our Heavenly Father knows our faults. And yet he calls us to be his anyway. And he brings no condemnation for us. His forgiveness has already been poured out. And it completely forgives. The question is, will we accept it and live into it? Sin enslaves us, but forgiveness frees us. Seek his forgiveness. Nothing. I want you to be assured that nothing done in the dark is hidden from God. I don't care how well, how many pages you went through to make sure nobody else knew. God knows. There's another illustration I decided not to use, but I can't pass it up. There was a little boy who went to visit his grandma and his grandparents for the summer. And I've used it here before. Actually, that's why I didn't want to use it before. But his grandfather, when he got there, bought him a slingshot. And the little fellow was trying to learn to use that slingshot. And one day, as he was out practicing, he was a little bit frustrated because he wasn't hitting the targets that he had set up at all. And then, in his frustration, he pulled that slingshot back and aimed it at his grandmother's favorite duck. Said, well, I haven't hit anything so far. He let her rip right in the head. Duck fell dead. Little fellow was taken, was struck by the horror of it all. And he went and hid the body of the duck with pile. But his sister saw what happened. His sister was a couple of years older than he was. And she didn't say anything to him. And that night, as they had supper, they got ready to get done. And his grandmother said, Susie, why don't you help me with the dishes? And she said immediately, oh, no, Danny said he wanted to do the dishes tonight. And she looked at Danny right in the eye, and he knew what she was talking about. And so Danny helped with the dishes. The next day, Grandpa said, hey, it's a beautiful day. Why don't we go fishing today? But Grandmother said, Susie, I really am going to need some help here in the kitchen today. I need you to stay back. And Susie said, well, Grandma, Daddy said he wanted to help you cook because he doesn't spend much time with you. And she looked at Daddy right in the eye. And she mouthed. And Susie and Grandpa went fishing. They had a lot of fun. And Daddy stayed to help Grandma prepare the meal. A couple of other things happened that week. And Danny done all of Susie's chores and his chores. Finally, he couldn't take it anymore. And he exclaimed when Susie was looking at him and mouthing, Ember, it's done. He just burst right out. Grandma, I done it. I killed your duck. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. She said, I know. I was standing at the kitchen window when it happened. I saw it. But I forgave you
the moment it happened. And I've been wondering how long you were going to let your sister bully you into doing her chores. Nothing is hidden from God. But now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul recognizes a very important truth that we act according to who we believe we are. Folks, if you believe that you are condemned, if you believe that you are unworthy, you're going to live a life that is condemned and unworthy. If you believe that you have been saved, if you believe you're the child of a king, if you believe that God loves you, then you're going to live into that. And you're going to live in ways that honor and glorify him and give your life purpose and meaning. That's what God calls us to. And that's why he is so active in our lives and so willing to forgive us. In order to break the power of the old nature in our lives, tangling us in our past, we must see ourselves as God sees us. Remember what it says in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, that is how far God removes sins or transgressions from us. You need to know. You must know how to see yourself as God sees you. And lay your burdens before the Lord, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You need to know that you're a son or a daughter of the King of all creation. You are a son. You are a daughter of the King of kings. He is the all-powerful, and you get to call him Father. And he loves you no matter what. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, church.